Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 131. I am Jeff, joined, as always, by Chris.
Hey.
A little bit of a lighter week this week. Probably a little bit of a shorter episode. But, Chris, you actually did get to go to the theater and see Annabelle Creation.
I did. Annabelle Creation, which is the sequel to Annabelle, which is a spinoff of The Conjuring. But Annabelle Creation actually takes place before all of it, as this is the creation of that creepy-ass doll that you see in The Conjuring and also in Annabelle. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly watchable horror film, ghost story type thing. It's effective. Great setting, some really good cinematography, decent acting throughout. I mean, it's not great, but it's passable. It's some decent child actors in it too. Samara Lee, who I don't know if she's been in anything else big. I mean, she's been in a bunch of other movies, but I don't think anything like really like big. And Lulu Wilson, who was in Ouija: Origin of Evil. She played the girl that was possessed in that.
Oh yeah, she was really good in that.
Yeah. Similar type performance here. She's more of the hero character in this. She's not been possessed. Standard stuff here. Like, I think it's like 1940 or 1950s, and this family doll maker has a daughter. They end up getting a flat on the side of the road, and their daughter, she reaches out for the nut from the wheel, and she gets killed in a car crash. This isn't a spoiler. Like, if you've seen the trailer, you kind of know the premise here. This sets up for 12 years later, them kind of opening their house to be an orphanage for like young girls and such. And from here, like the weird stuff starts to happen, where this one girl, she starts like getting messages under her door, and she starts exploring through the house, and she finds the daughter's room, and in that room she finds the doll, and obviously the doll has been possessed by something and is trying to gather other souls. At first, like, nobody kind of believes her because she's the only one that sees it, but as the movie goes on, like, more and more stuff happens, and it becomes more of your typical supernatural kind of everybody's fucked like, type of thing. And it's okay. It's kind of your standard ghost demonic possession type story. There's not a lot of gore in it. There is some like gross scenes involving some breaking of fingers and such, but I mean, it's kids in peril. It's there's nothing like overwhelmingly horrific about it. It's just a well done story. It's also just not like super memorable. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. But nothing like jumped out at me and like, wow, that was fucking awesome. Like,
kind of how I felt about that Ouija movie.
Origin Standard. Of Evil. Perfectly fine. Like, it was a decent horror film. It's serviceable. Like, if you're looking for something to watch on a Sunday afternoon, Annabelle Creation probably passes the test for you. But
was it under 2.5 hours?
Yes, it was.
I fucking watched this week.
Yes, it was barely like, I mean, it's just under 2 hours. So,
okay.
Which so, is okay, I guess. I mean, it's paced fine.
I will probably add it to my Netflix queue. I mean,
yeah, it's
nothing about it stood out to me in the trailer. So
no, it's, I mean, the only real thing that kind of jumps out at this is that it does take place in like the Conjuring universe, which is an absurd statement to make there. The fact that that horror film, which is a very deep, I think The Conjuring is a very well-made horror film. The second one's okay, but like the fact that that has created this kind of ghostly demonic universe where other films are kind of being placed in and around it. It's a weird thing.
That's it is, because I mean, The Conjuring is good, but it's very much just like a classic ghost story. So it's like, it amazes me like how big of a hit it is, you know. Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga as the Warrens.
Yeah.
But the fact that it spawned, like, and you know they're going to do another spinoff with the fucking Nun. So it's like...
Yes, so that is something the Nun does play into this. Very directly, actually. There is a nun in this movie that kind of, she's younger. She kind of oversees the girls. In addition to the people that have the house, she's kind of like their caretaker there as well. And like, it's very shoehorned in. They show a picture, and Anthony LaPaglia, who is the you know, kind of, he owns the house. He asks this nun, like, "Oh, who are these pictures?" And she's like, "Oh, it was when I was in, you know, Eastern Europe, and you know, these three." And it's like, "Well, who's this one on the end?" She's like, I don't know." And if you stay through the trailers, there are two after credit scenes, or one's mid credit, one is after the credits, and one of them directly ties to the nun in particular. You see her walking through like this old Eastern European church or whatever. So yeah, they're totally doing that movie.
Right. I don't know. Like I said, it's like I like those Conjuring movies. I think they're good. It's just kind of perplexing to me that like
That it's become this crazy big thing.
Like something so traditional and really like kind of without big jump scares or gore or any of that.
Right.
Like, I guess people just like a good old fashioned ghost story, but I don't know. Annabelle, I might see this one. I don't think I've never seen the original spinoff, but whatever.
That one's actually very not good.
Like, yeah, that's what I heard.
This one's a better movie. And if you have seen that one, you'll get a little bit more out of this, as the ending to this movie ties directly to the beginning of that movie.
So, what's the verdict here, Chris?
It's a 3.
3.
Yep.
We both saw another horror movie called...
Yeah, we did.
Cure for Wellness. And when I say I saw, I like half watched it while I looked at Twitter and other things. which is, I would say, the way to watch Cure for Wellness. Cure for Wellness is a film by Gore Verbinski. It stars Dane DeHaan as a businessman who has to go to this spa / mental hospital.
Yeah.
And is it Germany or Sweden?
I think it's Switzerland, actually.
Switzerland? Okay.
Well, it's in the Swiss Alps. Not in Switzerland, but it's in the Swiss Alps.
So he's going there to basically retrieve one of the people on the board at his where he works. And this guy is like gone for like, he like went there on vacation and he's not come back. And the reason they want him to come back is so they could pin some like illegal shit that they did at the business. I didn't really follow it that well. Again, yeah, I was not.
It made zero sense.
Okay. So it's basically young man on a mission to go retrieve someone from his work so they could pin some fucking illegal shit on him.
Yes.
And he arrives at this, you know, mental hospital, and of course, like, things start to get really weird. And he ends up becoming a patient there himself. And this is a movie that I don't like hate it or anything, but I don't think it's very good at all. it was just, it's super fucking weird. It's super long. It's like 2.5 hours long for no reason, because not a whole lot happens in it. It doesn't make sense, and I think it gets worse as it goes along. Like, at first I felt like I had a grasp on what was going on, and then, and again, you could tell me, because like I said, I wasn't paying super close attention to it, but it felt like it made less and less sense as it went on and got stupider, or like, I didn't know what to make of it by the end, except that I did not really love it.
It gets
some cool visuals.
Oh yeah, it's like, I think it's a wonderfully shot movie.
Yeah, like it's a great looking movie. It has production values, like, which is like, you know, you don't always get that in horror movies. You can tell it has a little bit, like, I felt like Shining influence in it. Even like right away when he's driving up the mountain there, like there's some shots from a helicopter, you know, totally brought to mind The Shining. But yeah, it's no Shining in my, I don't know. Let me hear some of your thoughts on this one.
It's a really weird movie. Like, really weird. The premise is kind of absurd. Like, we're going to send you to go get this guy, because you did some bad shit. But we need him back because they want somebody bigger, and we don't want to take the hit. Like,
I don't think it's defined really what they did. It was just, unless I'm not good at like financial mumbo jumbo, but like,
no, they don't, like, they just like kind of like throw this like portfolio at him, and I'm like, you don't think we'd find out? And like, find out what?
We're like, we as the audience have not been filled in on this. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, I mean, like the first time, I think when the movie starts, like somebody has a heart attack, which isn't really explained as to why that's important. It's not, which could have totally cut this movie by like another 5-10 minutes. Somebody needed to edit this for Gore Verbinski, because he deserves everything at it. And, but yeah, we meet the Lockhart, and he's on a train. He's obviously very engaged in business, and he just seems like an asshole. Like a businessman asshole on the train.
Cocky little shit, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess it's like, I guess we're supposed to take from that that when he's talking to whoever he's talking to is like when they're doing the illegal shit, but it's not explained very well. So he ends up in this boardroom and ends up then off on a plane to Switzerland and gets a pretty cool like folk tale about like, oh, the villagers hate the people up on the hill, and get like this like interesting story about a baron and his sister wife. And
yeah, see, I, this is how little I was paying attention, is like I didn't catch really what the fuck any of that was.
Okay,
and so, I think it felt like it didn't really end up mattering at the end, any of that shit.
So that did, like that, all that, like the baron and the sister wife all kind of does. But anything else,
there's like a barn or a school that got burned down. I don't even remember. Something got burned down, right? And that's like a big part of the story.
Well, the whole castle like was supposedly burned down.
Yeah. And then there's something in the fucking aquifer. I forgot what it was. Like I don't know, dude. Like, there's so much fucking nonsense in it.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Which you're saying like, mattered, but
well, some of it did. Like, so. I'm gonna just like flat out spoil this movie. So I don't really want to waste anybody's time with 2.5 hours of watching it. Even though, like as we said, there's some cool visuals in it. There is some super creepy stuff like that is like well shot, and I think in a better movie that stuff becomes iconic. But here it's just like, all right, that was cool, but like the 25 minutes beforehand wasn't. So. Whatever these eel things are, in this location, in this water, and if they are feeding off of humans, they create an elixir that basically allows...
Vitamins.
Right. They call them vitamins. It's like a cure for death. because the main doctor here is the Baron.
Yeah.
And the girl,
I told you I half watched this.
And the girl Hannah is his daughter from his sister. From like back when the whole place burned down. So that it does tie in, but it's like I think that the idea of that is cool. Like there's a really cool idea in here, and that you know they've created this place where rich people will come and basically stay, like because nobody ever leaves. But they come willingly, they pay money to this doctor, the Baron, and he slowly eats their life force away into whatever this elixir is.
And the rich people like this just because they like to be blissfully like.
Yeah, they just like whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like everyone who's there is there actually
of their own free will.
Their own will. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so like they're but yeah, okay. There's a point where Lockhart. I don't know if you remember this part, but he is locked into this kind of chamber. It's like this copper chamber. With his head sticking out.
Yeah.
And then the doctor shoves like this tube down his throat where he drops.
Yeah.
And so like that's kind of where he explains the whole thing. And like the Baron's whole idea was, the reason that this all went bad years ago wasn't because of the experiments, wasn't because of my sister. It was because I was basically kidnapping townsfolk and doing it against their will. So his idea here was he has created this whole entire sanitarium where rich people will come and they will pay and they will live out their life here. Maybe not originally thought that way, but
it's so convoluted.
Yeah, it's super convoluted, and
you have to do like fucking logical,
yep,
fucking acrobats to wrap your mind around why that any of this makes sense.
And for what ultimately ends up being like a few cool scenes,
yeah,
that look great and are super creepy. Like but I actually think you can get better. Like looking at this, you can look at screenshots of like stills of this film, and kind of get the whole thing right. Like
it's. There's so much I appreciate about it, but it needed to be retooled into something. Like, what it is, and even like you're saying, like there's something like a cool idea there, maybe. But the dude at the end looked like fucking Skeletor, and it was ridiculous. Yes. Like
when the face kind of fell off, and
yeah, I mean, I had long mentally checked out of this thing by that point, but then I was just like, I'm happy I did because this is getting ridiculous. And the parts early on where it's a little more intriguing, it's cool, but it's also like very much like, you know, like as soon as they hand him a glass of water, you know something's up with the water,
right? Like the water's, you know what I mean? Not good for you.
We've been here before. Yeah, it's a shame because, like I said, it's a great looking film. I like Dane DeHaan. To the point, I don't think this is a very good movie, unfortunately. Like I did not. I kept asking you about it. You're just like, it's weird. It's like,
right, and that's like it. That's the.
It's weird. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's like the only real thing you can say about it. Like it's weird. It's convoluted. It's not necessarily good.
It's almost like a super high production value art film.
Yes,
it's weird, dude. Like. And there are nuggets of coolness. Like, I thought the dentist scene, pretty cool. Even though we've seen a billion scenes like that in movies before. But, you know, yeah. Dentist scenes are always going to be creepy. Like, they're always going to work, you know? Yeah, I don't know, dude. I can't recommend this one.
No, I wouldn't recommend it either, even though, like, I did find stuff to like in it. Like, yeah. I thought, like, the hydro chamber scene was pretty cool. The scene with Mia Goth, who plays Hannah in the tub full of eels, was creepy and fucking like just disgusting. Yeah, and like there's the dentist scene, and there's this other scene where Lockhart ends up in this chamber where these people, and like he's looking for one in particular, they're suspended in water, just kind of like floating there.
Again, I still, like, even after you've explained everything to me, I'm like, I don't get this. What?
Right. No, none of it makes sense. Like, except for like I understand like the link between like the Baron and like never really touch hard on that. Like they explored a little bit with Lockhart and this other patient who does crossword puzzles. Like she's interested in the history of the place, but they never really kind of get into it. Also, I would love to know how Gore Verbinski got Mia Goth into that tub of eels. That's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously that was cool probably not part, real like, eels, but yeah.
Who knows? But I mean, that was a cool, like, yeah, there's merits to this. You could see like something that could have been a better movie, but the thing that we're left with is a movie that, like, maybe if you're a hardcore horror fan, check it out. But even then, I don't think you're going to be blown away by it.
No, it has cool imagery.
And I would like to, I mean, maybe it would be a nice decent story. Well,
there's a decent story in there to be picked out. It is not well presented.
I just think that I would like to see more horror movies get a budget like this and be gorgeous looking like this and all that. But, like, unfortunately, this just is something that had potential that I mean, me personally, I'm giving a pretty low score. I'm going to give it a 2. Didn't like it.
I think that's fully understandable. I'm a little bit more, be a little bit more generous here. It's also not a huge recommend, but I am going to go with a 3.
All right. I guess moving along. I saw a movie that you reviewed earlier in the year. This one I also sort of half watched, but it's fine. It's Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie's really fun. It's a dumb movie that knows it's dumb. Don't expect anything like amazing out of it, but if you want to have a fun time, you can't go wrong with Skull Island. Great cast. I wish they had a little bit more to do sometimes. I do think that there's, I mean, the movie's just goofy, dude. Like, any of the character or human stuff is just hokey and sticks out like a sore thumb, especially randomly at the end. They go for like this emotional ending, which like does not fit the movie at all. But any of the stuff with fucking Kong was badass and a lot of fun. And this is just a good traditional, like, popcorn movie. And I'd say it's worth the rental alone for very early on. There's an extended, like, action sequence where they arrive at the island and Kong is waiting for them. And it's a pretty long action scene where, like, it feels like half the fucking cast gets killed right at the beginning. Yeah. So, I mean, spoilers, I guess, but I'm telling you, it's like 10 minutes into the movie. A lot of fun. Like, I really felt like that sequence alone was worth the rental. But you got lots of fun stuff besides that in there. I mean, I don't have much else to say about it other than that. It's a fun, dumb movie. Like, don't expect anything great in terms of story or character stuff. But if you just want to have fun with a monster movie, you could do much worse than Kong Skull Island. Also, Kong is like fucking 100 feet tall or something. Like, he is huge in the movie. It's fucking awesome. Some really cool shots of like him
really,
like,
well
scanning
done
it in the background. Yeah. And also, I mean, spoilers, I guess, in the credits they set up that there will be sequels to this, which I'm not against. Did you stay and see this, like the stingers and stuff in this?
Yeah, they set up
new Godzilla.
Yeah,
like him versus Godzilla, which is like really weird because there was the solo Godzilla movie from a couple years back as well, completely different in tone than this. Like that actually tried to be a serious movie. At least from my memory, that's what I remember. This is not like this is super fucking goofy, but I'm giving it 3 stars, but it's like a pretty strong recommend 3 stars. Like,
yeah, it's a fun 3-star movie. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, it's easy. Like, it goes down like a light beer on a fucking summer night. Like, it's just, it's an easy recommend. I think that wraps up all the movies we've seen last week. It's like I said, it's a little bit of a lighter week.
You saw Fences, right?
Oh yeah, I literally just got done watching Fences. That was a movie, like a big Oscar movie, directed by Denzel Washington. Also stars him, based on a play by, I can't remember the guy's name. I want to say like August Wilson.
But August Wilson, yes.
Okay, all right. And yeah, and it shows. Like, it feels like a movie based on a play. It's not always like, I'm not always against that. There's been lots of movies based on plays that I like. Like, I want to say Glenn Ross is based on a play. I want to say, like, you know, there are movies I really like Suburbia. I want to say that was based on a play. You could always tell when the movies are based on plays because it's usually a group of people sitting in one spot talking for 2 hours, right?
Right.
And that's totally what this is. It's, I was not blown away by Fences. It's, for one, it's also way too fucking long. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Could have been like 1:45, you know what I mean? Could have cut like at least a half hour. It's basically Denzel Washington is this fucking kind of like old school dad. Like that's kind of the story. Is like he's kind of, and when I say old school, I mean he's like a drunk asshole. You know what I mean? Like okay. he kind of terrorizes his family, gets drunk, talks a bunch of shit, and tries to instill like life lessons in them. Like he's not like abusive. Like he doesn't beat them or anything like that. But he's kind of like emotionally and verbally like abusive to them. He's kind of an asshole. So that's the thing is like, it's kind of like another reason I didn't love it is because I'm like, I don't really like this guy. Like I get what you're going for and all that.
Right.
And the movie, it's kind of in the end, you know, it's a slice of life movie. It's not really going anywhere. And it kind of in the end is, it's about fairings and, you know, you're kind of stuck with what you got. You know what I mean? And you, I mean, if, you know, the people in your family aren't perfect. They're your family. That's kind of like its message, you know. But he's just not super likable, you know. He's basically upset that life didn't work out great for him, even though he's total fuck up in a lot of respects. He claims he was this great baseball player, but it was before, you know, the major leagues let black people play. And then he kind of takes that out on his son, who his son wants to be a football player when they're starting to integrate black people into sports more. And he, like, doesn't let his son play sports because he's just stuck in the past where, like, he didn't get a chance, so his son's not going to get a chance. Like,
nobody does.
Yeah, so, like, he kind of, I'm not trying to spoil it, but he kind of, like, interferes with his son chasing after what he wants to do. And since he is his dad and he's an authority figure, like, he could literally stop him from doing that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's great performances all around. Like, Viola Davis as the wife is very good in it. I think she did win an Oscar for that, right?
I believe so.
I want to say, because I remember being upset that, what's her name, from Manchester by the Sea didn't win. Because Viola Davis is almost the lead here. She probably has more screen. She almost has more screen time than Denzel Washington. So I found that kind of a bullshit category to put herself in. But anyways, she's very good in it. Denzel Washington is very good in it. The guy that plays, actually, both the guys who play his sons are good in it. Some good writing, but like I think I honestly think I would have enjoyed it more as a play. Like just watching, going and seeing the actual play. I think if Denzel cut the material a little bit. It would play better on the screen. But even then, it was the kind of movie that I'm like, I recognize it's good writing and good performances, but I know that a year from now, I'll remember nothing from Fences. So, give it a 3.
Okay.
Worth checking out for those reasons, but like, I don't know. I just didn't love, honestly, did not love Denzel Washington's character. You're not supposed to love him, but it's just, at some point, I was like, didn't want to spend that much time with him, really. I'm a miserable enough drunk as it is. I don't need to watch them.
Yeah, you don't need to watch them be miserable as well. All right.
It's okay. It's not bad. It's not a bad movie. It's just, I don't know what I expected, but I mean, I want to say it was nominated for Best Picture as well. And I think, you know, it didn't win for a reason. It's all right. So 3 stars for that. Speaking of things I didn't like, Chris, I didn't like last week's Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I don't know how you felt about it.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
It was what you feared the week before's episode was going to be, right?
The one where nothing happens.
Really happens.
Except it was almost worse than that because I didn't like the things that did happen in it. I didn't. All right. First off, right off the bat, I don't like the beginning of the episode. It's a total cop out. It starts off with Jaime and Bronn, like they've somehow swam down river away from the battle,
right?
And are alive. And like, it's just one illogically impossible thing to happen because Jaime's wearing full armor.
Yeah.
Yes, there's no way it's happening. I'm sorry.
That was something that I was like, this is a little absurd. Because, like, the last time we see Jaime, like, the last shot of the episode before is he is sinking to the bottom of the lake, river, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then when it picks up in the next episode, episode 5, they are far away from where Bronn jumped and saved him.
Yeah. Like, so they somehow, like, swam all the way away. Like, I just don't buy that. And even if he's not wearing all that armor and shit, like, Danny's just going to let them go? She knows who the fuck Jaime is, right? I mean, I guess she's never seen him, but it's clear that guy was, like, a leader or whatever in the army. Like, I don't know, dude. It's just fucking... I did not like that. And I don't like the central, like... conceit of the plot here, like this. I don't like where the plot has turned in this episode. Just that, like, it felt like everything was building towards an end, and they're like, "Oh wait, we still have like another season to go." So, like, let's change things up here, and we're gonna make our plan now is to, like, we want to join forces with Cersei all of a sudden because the White Walkers are a bigger threat, and we need her help. So what we're going to do is risk our lives going out north of the wall to fucking somehow snatch a walker. Like, it's a total suicide mission.
Right.
To go snatch a White Walker just to prove to this fucking evil fucking queen that they're real and maybe she'll, like... I don't know. I just don't... I don't like that.
No, like, the idea behind that is pretty stupid.
It seems like if you really think about it, like, if you're gonna risk your life, I would rather risk my life going to just kill this bitch. Like, she, you know, after all she's done to everybody, like, let's go kill her, dude. Fuck her. And then we'll, like, I got in an argument about this with Sean on Twitter. I'm like, he's like, well, they need them. I'm like, all of a sudden they decided that they needed them. That was never the case before.
Yeah, I don't.
And go kill her and take her army like you did at the beginning of this episode. Like, they took her as part of her army at the beginning, so just do the same thing again. Like, why do you need her on board for the 3 or 4 guys per 200 that are going to be like, no, we're not bending the knee? Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Anyways, I'll let you speak on it a little bit.
No,
that's my rant.
I don't disagree with that. Like, it is pretty stupid. Like, one, she just decimated their fucking army. Like, even for the amount of people that bend the knee to her, like, and she, you know, she had to kill off some of them because they wouldn't, but she didn't get that many people from that battle, and the Lannisters can't have that much more.
I mean, Jaime says as much that they could crush us, you know, in an afternoon and it'll be right. over. So fucking do it. But like, it's the writers going, well, we got to pad this out. Like, we got more episodes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just feels like you could feel it.
Well,
you could feel you could feel the hands of the writers on this going, well, we got to come up with a reason for this fucking Suicide Squad.
Because
we want to do that.
But I also could see like this be like this actually being something that Martin has planned for his books.
It's possible. It's like, very possible. Although, I mean, there are a lot of people saying that this is starting to feel like fan fiction, and I can see where they're coming from. I don't know. I mean,
remember they are working from an outline that
yes,
Martin
yeah,
has provided.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yes, supposedly yes, that's what they say, and
that's what Martin has said too. So
I know, but he could go sit down and write the book, and because he took so long, he doesn't like this. He doesn't like it anymore. You know, you write something on a different day, you feel
right. Yeah, he could totally he like, maybe that doesn't work.
I'm gonna change this. I'm gonna change that. So. And there might be part of them that be like, no, I want to keep some things in the book different anyways. Like, so I'm just going to tell you, like, maybe he's given them his rough draft idea and he comes up with it. I don't know. I'm just saying it's felt goofy. But, I mean, without spoiling anything, I think I could say that it does set up what is the best episode of the season. So you have that to look forward to, Chris. Next episode's pretty great.
All right.
I mean, not to hype it up too much, but it's even better than Dany using her dragons. It's really a really, really fun episode next week.
Good.
Which I don't know when you post these episodes. It probably the new one will be out.
It'll be out after probably after that one. Yeah.
So people will not have to take my word for it. People will all have seen it. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it already. It's out there. I don't know exactly what happened. I guess I want to say HBO like. Accidentally posted it or they got hacked. I don't know which one, but the episode's out there, so that's how I've seen it.
Okay.
I'm not gonna go into any sort of plot,
or
anything about it.
Since about
it's
that
not officially out
next week, I guess. So
I know you don't want to spoil.
Yeah,
I'm just saying not to overhype it,
chance.
But it, get excited, dude. Get real excited.
Yeah, I think overall this season has been strong. Like, I mean, there have been, you know, there have been issues. Like, I certainly didn't like necessarily where it started out, but and you weren't a big fan of how it progressed in the fifth episode. But they seem to redeem themselves very quickly with a good episode after, you know, they kind of falter a bit.
I think that. I mean. I think this season and last season have had some of the very strongest episodes in the whole series. Like, it's just, you watch an episode like the Battle of the Bastards and you go, how could they top that? And then they kind of, well, I don't think they've ever topped the Battle of the Bastards yet, but they kind of do in the next episode. Like, there's another thing in the next episode that's just as crazy cool. And exciting. Yeah.
And I do love the, like, I mean, we focused a lot while in our conversation here about Dany and Jon Snow and Cersei, but I love the political like intrigue that is going on at Winterfell with Sansa and Arya and Littlefinger.
Oh well, and yeah, me too.
There's some really cool stuff.
Yes, there is. I really like that stuff too, and I really like. Like the interaction between Arya and Sansa after so long being apart, and then the fact that Littlefinger's trying to play them against each other.
And I mean, you know, Sam has packed up. He's leaving he is leaving Old Town. Like, fuck these old people. Like, I know what I got to do, and taking.
I guess we should also mention too in this last episode is like there was like these little moments in there for people who are super geeks about the show.
Oh yeah, there's some stuff about Jon's parentage, possibly.
Yeah, and I get a little fuzzy when it comes to like Jon Snow's like and like I know they explained it last season. They had like scenes showing it or whatever, right? Like flashback scenes,
right?
I did not realize that was what I was watching. Like, I just didn't know what was going on. And so I'm still, like, fuzzy on the whole thing. But, you know, I went and looked up what the – like, it was so obvious. There's a scene with the – was it Sam –
Sam and Ginny and Gilly.
Yeah, Gilly. Yeah. Gilly, yeah. And, like, it's super obvious. She's, like, reading stuff, like, histories to him while he's, like, trying to get work done. And he's, like, super annoyed by her.
Yeah.
And it's super obvious that whatever she's saying is really important.
Yeah.
So I went and, like, found out, like, looked it up online. And, of course, yeah, it was. It was talking about the fact that you know, Jon Snow is basically all Targaryen, and he's legitimate, and he has a stronger claim to the throne than Dany.
Right.
Which is, like, if you're going to do something with that, I feel like it should be a little more... I guess maybe it's just my fault for not understanding that stuff as well as I should, but...
I mean,
I'm not alone on that.
They've only touched on it briefly on the show. Like, it's definitely something... It's a big
thing that people talk about, you know?
Right. Well, definitely for people that have read the books, because Jon's parentage has been a huge question mark throughout, so...
So yeah, this is, like, an episode with, like, little nuggets of things like that.
Yeah.
That, you know... It's interesting for hardcore fans to talk about. I don't know how well any of that lands with your average viewer. I thought it was kind of a boring episode, and I just didn't like where things were going. But, like I said, Game of Thrones doesn't ever leave you hanging for long, and you could fully expect to be entertained shortly. So, that's all I'm going to say on that.
Cool. Looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and that about wraps it up. And
yeah,
I don't know what I will have for next week. We will definitely have Game of Thrones discussion. Other than that, I'm leaving it open.
I might go see Logan Lucky.
It looks interesting.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me about that one. That might be one where, like, what you say depends on where I go to see it.
I mean, I've enjoyed Soderbergh's stuff in the past, and the cast looks interesting. I do like a good heist movie too. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm definitely gonna try and get out to see that. The Hitman's Bodyguard evidently is a bomb, so
it will be great.
Skipping that one. But maybe we'll see something else in there too.
I throw this out here real quick. I've been listening to a podcast called 80s All Over. And each episode, they do, like, you know, January 1980, February 1980. That's, like, they're going through the whole decade like that. Talking about every film that was released in that month. And I have a feeling I'm going to end up picking some recommendations up off of that. Like, just cool. Super obscure. Like, there's a couple right now. Like, one of them I can't find. It isn't available on Netflix, even as a disc, called Southern Comfort. Like, have you ever heard of that movie? Or
no.
It's like, kind of a horror movie, I guess, and supposedly really good. But, yeah, it's not even on disc on Netflix. But then there's, like, another one. Like, this is at the top of my queue right now, a movie called My Bodyguard, which I guess is just, like, a regular, like, sweet, like, coming-of-age story, kind of like Stand By Me. With, like, a very, very young Matt Dillon in it, young Adam Baldwin in it, which, you know, I don't know anything about it except the fact that they were like, oh, this is a really sweet, like, you know, movie about being a kid or whatever. I was like, I love those types of movies, so add that to my queue, we'll see. So I might have, I'm dipping back into the 80s once again.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. But other than that, I don't know, who knows. I know for sure we'll have plenty of Thrones to talk about.
Yeah, we'll definitely be that.
And I guess I'll bring up one little idea. Like, this is a tiny idea. I just saw, like, an article like in the New York Times over the weekend where it was like, what are your favorite tiny moments from TV shows? And I got thinking about that. I don't know. Like, there's some that, like, it definitely brought some to mind for me. I don't know if you'd be interesting in, like, talking to some of you.
Shoot me that article.
I don't even think I read the article. But I can try to find... Like, I saw the headline and I just started going, yeah, what are... Like, And the scenes I came up with, to me, are not tiny. I guess I would define tiny as, like, it's not someone getting killed. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of, like a character moment. Like, for me, like, one of the things that came to me is still my favorite scene in all of Game of Thrones is Tyrion telling everyone to go fuck off. And he says he demands a trial by combat. You remember that scene?
Yes.
That was, like, the first one I thought of was, like, yeah, like, it's not like a big like Red Wedding type thing, but it's still, I guess I don't know if you'd call it tiny. Either way,
yeah, we'll take a look at it. Maybe
consider it. We might if we come up with something, we'll do it. But it was just an idea. Other than that, anything could happen.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.